One of the problems we faced in Borroloola was the language difficulties. Not because Aboriginal people are backward, or because they're not clever, or because they have no education, but we use words that they didn't use. Now, in church, we're full of churchy words, aren't we? Like faith, redemption, sanctification. How do we explain that to Aboriginal people? How can we do that? We read from Hebrews 11 and we saw a phrase pop up a lot. Two words, by faith, by faith, by faith. What does that mean? How do we explain that to a people with a limited worldview? We would have to almost develop our own meanings for the word. That's probably not the right word, a definition. And so we would say faith is trusting God and believing in his promises. Trusting God and believing in his promises. Now, I'm going to look at a number of different sections today that deal with faith in the life of Abraham. And as we come to different portions, let us think about that definition and how that might apply to situations in Abram's life and how in turn that might apply to situations in our life. We started off with Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 20. Now I'm going to take a couple of little sections out of here. And I've titled the first one, Faith That Demands, Faith That Challenges and Demands Action. The Lord said to Abram, and I'm reading out of the New Century Version. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will place a curse on those who harm you, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. So a faith that challenges, how does that work? You see, Abraham was happy in his little place, and he had his wife and kids and, you know, granddads, and he didn't have kids then. He had his wife and his family, nieces, nephews, grandparents, had the whole box and dice, didn't he? And all of a sudden, God comes to him and says, time to move. How would we feel if God said that to us? Time to move. Leave your family, leave everything and go. Well, that probably wouldn't be too hard, would it? But the snag was, God didn't tell him where. Now that's a trick. It's all very fine going somewhere if you know where you're going. Those of us who have had the joy of having kids and they get to their teenage years and beyond, how many times do we pray that God would say to them, leave your country and your relatives and go somewhere else? My kids keep coming back and they're in their 30s. And they come back with their wives and kids. Oh, I wish God would speak to them about leaving. No, I'm joking, seriously. But isn't that a challenge, though? To go to somewhere that you've probably never heard of. But it was a faith that demanded an action. Simply by God coming to Abraham and saying, leave your country and your relatives, there had to be an action, didn't there? There had to be an action on the part of Abraham. And when we see what God is going to do, he will bless you, make you a great nation, make you famous, you'll be a blessing to others. You see, none of that would have happened if Abraham didn't go. That blessing was dependent on Abram's obedience in many ways. So there's a faith that challenged Abraham in his comfort zone, but it demanded an action on his part. And in the next two verses, we see faith in action. We see the action that he did. He left Haran, as the Lord had told him, And Lot went with him, and at this time Abram was 75 years old. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and everything they owned, as well as their servants they had gotten in Haran. They set out from Haran, planning to go to the land of Canaan. Now notice one thing interesting. He was 75. When we looked at the picture of the caravans, you know they're getting on, aren't they? And you look at, we've probably got a mugshot on a wall somewhere. And that mugshot was taken a little while ago. And hang on, we're getting old. Glennis is looking thinner, I'm looking tubbier and fluffier. And you look at a lot of the missionaries, they're getting on, aren't they? What does that tell us? It tells us that there's no age to God's call. It's no age, you know. And we could talk to people who are 60, 70, 80. Does that mean that there's nothing for them to do? Of course not. God comes to any one of us at any age and challenges us in our faith. He challenges us to get up and do something. You know, we've been in Borroloola for 10 years, back home for 5 or 6 years, I can't remember. But we couldn't survive without people who are praying for us. You know, praying for missionaries is a great form of extending your faith, which goes to extend and build up our faith. I read a quote. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. I'll read it again. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Now, these two little bits of Abram so far, faith that challenges and faith in action, are okay because there's no dramas yet. I mean, there's the upheaval of moving, but there's no real obstacle, there's no real circumstance that so far has cropped up that would cause Abram to lose his faith or to doubt, is there? Nothing's happened yet. However, we read in the next three verses from 10 to 13, at this time there was not much food in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to live because there was so little food. Just before they arrived in Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, I know you're a very beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this woman is his wife. Then they will kill me but let you live. Tell them you are my sister, so that things will go well with me and I may be allowed to live because of you. And I've called this one faith that challenges but fails. Faith that challenges but fails. You see, going to Egypt wasn't wrong. Going to Egypt wasn't wrong in itself. Abraham, being responsible for the lives of so many people, he was responsible for their well-being. Now, if there's no food where you are and there's food in Egypt, doesn't it make sense to go there? Of course it does. What parent, what father wouldn't do the same thing? The problem was, is what happened on the way? See, he was afraid of what might happen. And it was only a might. Just before they arrived, he said, I know you're a beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they'll say, this woman is his wife, then they'll kill me but let you live. You see, his faith extended to leaving his family, extended to going to a different country, but when there was an obstacle, it all went pear-shaped, didn't it? He was worried about himself, worried about his own skin. Don't worry about his wife. And I wouldn't have the courage to do that. I would fear Glennis much more than I would fear Pharaoh. And I noticed some of the men are laughing, but honestly, would you be any different? Who would you fear? Philip? Nah. Not saying wise man. But you see, it led him to doubt God, didn't it? And it led him to the point where he thought, hang on, I need to think of a way out of this. So his faith led to a personal failure. So that things will go well for me and I might be allowed to live. He's totally lost his focus on God and turned his focus to me and my needs, or him and his needs. Then we go across to Genesis 15, so we're having a bit of a leap. And this is chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. And I've called this one a different kind of faith, a faith that saves. After these things happened, the Lord spoke his word to Abram in a vision. Abram, don't be afraid, I will defend you. I will give you a great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me? I have no son, so my slave Eliezer from Damascus will get everything I own after I die. Abram said, look, you have given me no son, so a slave born in my house will inherit everything I have. Then the Lord spoke his word to Abram. He will not be the one to inherit what you have. You will have a son of your own who will inherit what you have. So I'll just stop there for a minute. So again, God comes to Abram. Abram hasn't got a son. But he's now at the point, see, his faith has grown over three chapters. And I'm going to propose a little statement, a question, a thought. Faith is a growing thing. And we see it through life of Abraham, don't we? But in our own life, isn't faith a growing thing? Where you are now in your faith is different to where you were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Where you will be in another 10 years is different to where you are now. And hopefully it's going to be in a better place than you are now. But see, faith is a growing thing. It has its ups and downs. Doesn't it? Well, perhaps it doesn't. It might be just me. So he's come to the point where he trusts God in everything God says. You will have a son. Then God led him outside. Look at the sky. There are so many stars you can count them. Your descendants also will be too many to count. Abram believed the Lord. The Lord accepted Abram's faith, and that faith made him right with God. You see the definition we had, as I mentioned earlier, faith is trusting God and believing in his promises. What made Abram right with God? Trusting him, believing in his promises. The promise of God to have a son. No, a great nation. And as Abram trusted that promise of God and believed it, then God declared him right with him. You see, there's two sorts of faith. There's a faith that leads to our salvation, but there's a faith that causes us to work for God. What does James say? Faith without works is dead. So there's two aspects, at least, of faith. The one that makes us right with God, the one that causes us to act for God. We'll do another bit of a leap across to Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abram's faith. See, we have about seven chapters of the life of Abraham, and we see different growths and ups and downs in those seven chapters, but we come to one of these after these things terminologies, and they're great because we go back and look at what things it was after. So after these things, God tested Abram's faith. God said to Abram, and he answered, here I am. Then God said, take your only son Isaac, the son you love, go to the land of Moriah, kill him there, and offer him as a whole burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now, there's the trick. God tested Abram's faith. You see, when our faith gets tested, God knows where we're at, doesn't he? He knew at this time what Abram's faith was like. And he tested his faith. Why? So Abram can see where he was at. Now, when God tests our faith, it's not because he's having one of his I'll get Dennis and Glennis days. It's not because we've done something wrong. It can be. But often those tests of faith are to show us exactly where we are with God. And during that faith testing time, we can say, well, hang on, I've lapsed. My faith has grown. So it's a time where we can evaluate where we are. And so this was a time for Abraham of evaluating exactly where his faith was. Now, a few chapters ago, we saw his faith was so great that he was willing to lay his wife's life down for him, basically. And now God is saying, I want you to lay down your son's life for me. It's a big ask, isn't it? But Abram rises to the challenge and does exactly as God said. How could he do that? How could you do that as a parent? How? What's your rationale behind obedience at that point? We're reading Hebrews chapter 11 again, this phrase, by faith, by faith, by faith. What's faith? Trusting God, believing in his promises. And verses 17 to 19 of Hebrews 11 says this. It was by faith that Abraham, when God tested him, offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. God made promises to Abraham, right? God made the promise to Abraham. What was the promise? You'll be the father of a great nation. But Abraham was ready to offer his own son as a sacrifice. God had said, the descendants I promised you will be from Isaac. Now there's the key. The descendants I promised you will be from Isaac. This Isaac, the Isaac that you are about to kill, will come from him. Not another Isaac. This Isaac. Abram believed that God could raise the dead. That's where Abram's faith led him. From a man who was able to leave his country, yeah, no big deal, to where he comes to Egypt and says, hey, hang on, wife, I'm going to give you to Pharaoh just so that I can live. Man looking after number one, and there are ups and downs along the way. Now he's at the point where he believes, he trusts God's promises so much that if I kill my son, God will bring him back to life again. Isn't that a walk of faith and a half? And it goes on to say, it was as if Abraham got Isaac back from death. Why? Because God provided the ram to be that sacrifice instead of Abram. So at that point, God had the test in view. He had the remedy in view. So I'm just going to close with a couple of thoughts. Firstly, faith is a growing thing. Faith needs nurturing. It needs watering. It needs the word of God. It needs action. It needs a whole lot of things in order for it to grow. And grow it will. Another important thing is in our walk of faith, and this is something that I learnt after a lot of time and a lot of heartache, We do not need to fear failure. In our walk of faith, failure is not the end. Failure is the start of a new beginning. If we were to look at the life of Abraham, and if we were to suppose that failure is the end, then Abraham's life would have been done in Egypt. But it wasn't, was it? It kept growing, ups and downs, and we read the story of Abraham, there are ups and downs. This thing with Egypt, you would have learned, nobody does it again. To King Abimelech. So there are ups and downs, there are revisiting old failures sometimes. But we don't need to fear failure. Failure is not the end, it's the start of a new beginning. And faith that saves is different to faith at work. The faith that made Abram right with God is different to the faith that was Abram's walk with God. And what was that definition? Faith is trusting God and believing in his promises. Question is, how much do we trust God and believe in his promises? How much do we trust God and believe in his promises? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are glad that we have examples like Abraham. We're glad that we have examples that can teach us. These men that walked with you and failed with you. And it's not just Abraham, there are so many. Grant that we wouldn't be bogged down by failure or defeat, but that we'd rise to the occasion, keep walking with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.